Is there a doctor in the house?
Hey, it's Dr. Lisa. It's time for Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. Oh my God, I've got to tell you what we've got in store today. I think this could possibly be the most listened to show that I've had, because part of it involves some sexual tension, but I'll get to that later. People love sexual tension. It really does kind of ring the bell for everybody, even animals and children. I'm going to get in trouble here. So for saying that, no, I'm not. You can't get in trouble here. It's Radio Free Brooklyn. You can say fuck all you want. So before we get started, I got to make my plug. You guys got to donate the money. I had Derek Todd in here last week who gave me $5 right off the top because he's making good money, you know, selling hats to Miley Cyrus. But anyway, so just go to Radio Free Brooklyn. If you donate pledge a dollar a month, how cheap can you get? And then you just go to radiofreebrooklyn.com/pledge and keep us going and commercial free and let us help all the programs that we're doing for the neighborhood. I think we're involved in so many things, including like literacy workshops and promoting bands and stuff that matters, some stuff that does good things, you know. Bernie Sanders would like us, I'm sure. So anyway, so I've been trying to like keep up with you guys so that you know kind of what's going on in my life. I'm actually feeling really good this week. It's been a really couple of tough weeks, but because I'm starting on a new project that involves trying to make money. And I'm not going to talk a lot about what it is. But, you know, I realize how my art, my career, and it's not just the career, it's the actual connection to the work I'm making affects my mood. And so I was floundering a little couple weeks after my performance, and I had something going on, you know, that took up time, and then I was floundering, and now I'm back on. I'm back, folks, so we're in a good mood today. I'm in a particularly good mood because I'm going to introduce you right now to Leah Schrager. Hi, Leah. You got to get a little closer to the mic. Don't touch the mic. Don't touch the mic. We're not allowed. Okay, say something. Hello. Say hi, Leah.
Hi.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
Okay, a little closer. Let's get this right. Okay. I know. It's hard, isn't it? Because you're not supposed to touch the mics and everything.
Okay, how's this?
Okay, let me turn it up a little. Let's see. All right. Okay. Say hi again.
Hi, Lisa.
A little low.
Hi, Lisa. Hello.
I'm going to turn. Okay. Say it
welcome.
Again.
Hi, Lisa.
Oh, that's much better. Much better. Love it. So anyway, I actually think that there's probably a bunch of people sitting around the campfire right now who know who Leah Schrager is. But I'm going to tell you in my this is the first time we've really – I mean, I met her briefly at a wonderful show, that two-person show that she was in at it was her show a couple of weeks ago, so we chatted really briefly. But it was her opening, and she was surrounded by good-looking people, of course. And so this is the first time we've actually really sat down.
I don't make
eye contact, by the way, because I'm used to I forgot to tell you that beforehand, because I'm used to doing therapy where people are lying down.
Uh-huh.
So it's all in my head.
Huh.
But anyway, I like to say that. I like because I don't want to throw anybody off by like thinking that I'm giving them weird vibes. Mm-hmm. You know how it is.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I'm going to tell you who Leah is from my what I know about her as an artist, and then I think we're going to tell a little bit about how our art projects have coincided. We have some weird connection through our art projects, and then we'll get into a deeper discussion. So let me tell you what is really – I'm going to try and say this in my own words, even though it's cribbed from a quote in Vice magazine that they wrote about Leah. So Leah is like a babe, but not like sort of a babe. Like Leah is like I'm an old lady, but cliche Playboy bunny babe, like a real sexy babe. She has a very modern and contemporary view on this. It's an issue that I've thought a lot about about not for myself, but the role of young women and the role of being sexy and all the pressure that women have to be sexy. And some women are just going to be sexier than others because it's partly genetics. I mean, some are going to be better at cooking. Some are going to be better at painting. Some are going to be better at ruling the world, you know, like Hillary. So I think that sexuality should be considered a talent, myself, to some degree. You agree with that, Leah? That's what we're saying, right?
Yeah.
So I think Leah really embodies this. And as they say in Vice, she appropriates the male gaze for profit and sells her image as a cam girl for social and monetary capital. She elevates sex work to the level of postmodern art simply by asking it to be viewed as such, like her work. Yeah, sex work is art in for you guys that haven't gone past the third grade. Of all my listeners are past the third grade for sure. And maybe they're kids, but you know. And this was about the video that Leah was in. Leah was in this really, like, great video that I saw that involved a lot of other, quote-unquote, feminist artists. What was it called?
The F-word,
feminist. Anyway, as they say in Vice, of all the young artists featured, Schrager's work leaves her viewers most unsettled. So I personally love the controversy that I know surrounds her because she is using, like, sex working as an art, as a way to make money in a very unapologetic way. And I love it because it pisses everybody off, right, Leah? Does that make sense?
It does.
Okay, so I just want you guys to know that I get her work, mm-hmm. right, Leah?
You do get it, yes.
Okay. And then also, and I appreciate it, right?
Mm-hmm.
We know this.
Thank
okay, you. So then also the project she's working on currently, which I did get to talk to her a little bit about at the opening, is she is ONA, which stands for online...
Online persona.
She's in a character as a model musician. This is like a long ongoing project. Mm-hmm. It's going to be like a year, couple years.
Yeah.
Okay. Model musician with a pop EP, which I heard, which is pretty cool.
Nice.
A naked pay site and thousands of Instagram followers. She has over 300,000. I looked today.
Yeah, like 320.
You should check out her Instagram. 000. It's
ONA Artist.
And it's all like these really hot naked pictures of herself. Do you hear that,
Not
Phil?
Naked.
That's my husband, if you're listening. And Mark McCarsky, if you're listening, but you're probably not because you're too involved in your little self-involved world. shout out, Mark. So her ultimate goal in this project is 10 million, 10 million one, what is G? G? 10 million followers?
IG? Followers?
Yeah.
Instagram.
10 million Instagram followers, so she's got 300,000. 1 million album downloads, major gallery representation, and her ass on the cover of Rolling Stone. I think that getting your ass on the cover of Rolling Stone is going to be the hardest to achieve. Have you thought about that? I think that's going to be hard.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be harder than the other stuff because you don't have control over it.
Yeah.
But who knows? I hope I'm wrong.
I
think the I'm just saying. I think the other stuff is achievable. I guess.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so it's really, really funny because, like I said, this is the first time I'm actually spending any real time with Leah. But I was made well aware of her in 2010. I noticed her in the media, and other people kept remarking on her to me. Because she started doing this project called The Naked Therapist, where she did therapy on a webcam and then would undress. And it was clearly about desire and stimulating, you know, sexual feelings and working with those feelings. So I thought before we get started, Lee and I should just talk about that, like, and as you know, my fellow listeners, if you don't know, like, well, then I'm just pissed at you if you don't even fucking know this about me. But I do therapy on stage. I have a TV pilot with Brick TV, Couples Therapy with Dr. Lisa. I'm a self-proclaimed psychotherapist, which is the whole premise behind the show, really, this radio show. So I've been doing therapy on stage, on the street, and on, you know, screen since 2001. I've had celebrity clients. I've had, you know, I spent an hour with Amy Schumer once. I mean, I had, you know, Joe Gordon Lovett, and I've done it. I've done it. You know who I found recently that I somebody from Orange is the New Black. Never mind. Enough about me. So Lee, let's talk about why don't you describe like your motivation and what the idea behind Naked Therapy is, so we hear it from you.
Yeah, so basically Naked Therapy is a form of talk therapy during which the therapist and or patient becomes naked, and then that nakedness is used to facilitate unique client insights. That's the one-liner on it.
So talk about the role of sexuality in it and what, like, you take, you have, like, you undress, right?
Yeah.
And you have, like, lingerie. It's not like you're just a naked person. You're a naked, seductive person, right? And sexual, it's mostly men that are your clients, and you're dealing with really male arousal. So can you explain like what the role, how you appropriate male arousal in the therapy?
Yeah, well, the idea is for arousal to be welcome in the therapy space. So especially for men, arousal and their arousal brain is a big part of themselves. And so the premise is that if you're not allowing that in the therapy space, then you're ignoring a part of the man.
Mm. So what do you think then, do men instantly recognize that, or do some of them think, oh, this is a great webcam experience? Or is it both? Like, what? How does that play out?
I would say that everyone who signs up actually really wants therapy. It's quite interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know how it'd be before I started.
Right.
Definitely everyone who signs up is there for therapy and is there for the situation that I've set up.
Mm-hmm. And how does that, like, how does talking about, like, you know, I don't get that in my practice at all. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, how does that, that's an extra tool really to work with. So how does that play out when you, how does dealing with the male desire play out and helping them?
Well,
for you to help, being able to help them.
Yeah. How a patient reacts to nakedness is sort of different for everybody, although there are similarities. But mainly, I'll start doing it at a time that I feel is appropriate, and often the conversation will deepen, will go somewhere else, different, what one might say, unconscious feelings and desires and thoughts are awakened.
So do you think there's maybe a level of trust with you that they wouldn't have had otherwise?
Yes, absolutely.
And a sense of intimacy?
Yes.
Do you think that, I'm curious to know, does the conversations get to be more sexual? Like, is there I know on the site they're allowed to masturbate.
Yeah.
You said you're willing to do light touching or whatever.
Okay.
So is there a lot of masturbation? Is that like most of the time, half the time?
I guess maybe I would say half. I don't always see who's on the other side, so I don't always know what they're doing.
Right.
But definitely when it's a good mix, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And every person does their own thing, really. Everyone has different.
And sometimes the conversations probably aren't sexual, really, overtly sexual at all, right?
Yeah, well, mostly they're not. Mostly it's really, like if you read a transcript, you would see it sounding just like a regular talk therapy session with a bit of smatterings of, wow, you look amazing, or,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. So, what was I going to say? So sex is, so, wait, I had a thought in my head. This happens to me. Mm-hmm. I'm old. It's okay. Let me think. So sexuality. So, sexuality is part of it. Do you think, this is what I was going to say. So do they talk about like topics that they probably wouldn't talk to you about? Do you imagine they wouldn't talk to a shrink about in other circumstances? Like, do they talk to you about like their sexuality or women or mm-hmm. their wives or yeah. what would you say
all
about
of,
that?
All of that, all of, mm-hmm. all of what you said. I mean, it's a huge range. I think I get people who will talk very similar to what they would talk to a traditional therapist about,
mm-hmm.
To people who are saying things that they've never said to anybody,
mm-hmm.
Or and so it's yeah, it's quite across the board. But I do think that because it's so open
mm-hmm.
in terms of sexuality, that people are able to maybe admit or mm-hmm. explore or discuss things that they felt were unmanly or inappropriate
right.
in other contexts.
Right. Well, you know, it's funny because, I mean, I think most of us have had one-night stands. I'm talking from my own experience. Mm-hmm. A long time ago, Phil. I would say that there's a certain safety mm-hmm. in a one-night. There's a certain emotional safety in a one-night stand because mm-hmm. you know that you're probably not going to see this person again mm-hmm. and you're much more open with them in a certain way, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you definitely. Know?
So, yeah, because you're removed from that person's yeah, life, which yeah. is part of what makes therapy right. effective, is right. that you're dealing with somebody who's not part of your day-to-day life.
Yes.
Now, in traditional therapy, the therapist keeps a pretty neutral background about, like, who they are. I mean, mm-hmm. so aside from the fact that you're sexually open or whatever, mm-hmm. do you keep the rest of yourself a pretty blank slate or?
Yeah, I did for quite a while until I started linking up with my broader art practice
mm-hmm.
with it. And then, so I do have some clients who will ask me questions about other things, which mm-hmm. is fine. And it's really mm-hmm. up to my mm-hmm. client sort of how mm-hmm. far he wants to look or explore. And I'm very mm-hmm. responsive. I mean, I'm expecting them to be open, so I am open with mm-hmm. them as well.
Mm-hmm.
So people do often ask questions and I do mm-hmm. respond.
So have to ask this question. Mm-hmm. So are you making a living off of this or how in about around what do you think you make?
Yeah. Well, I made my living and paid for grad school at Parsons with NACA therapy, and it was exclusively through NACA therapy that I supported myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then as of recently, the Naked Pay site that's linked with my music project has actually done quite well. And so now together I'm cutting back on NACA therapy and doing more mm-hmm. of that because it takes quite a lot of time and energy to
mm-hmm.
To get content for that. So they now are about half and half, which mm-hmm. is really amazing.
So yeah. how much time, like when you were doing NACA therapy, was that like 5 sessions a week, 10 sessions, 20?
Oh, well, when I was doing it, a lot. And it was, yeah, I would be doing maybe, let's see, I try not to do more than 3 a day because it's pretty tiring.
Mm-hmm.
But I would do that maybe like 3 or 4 times a week.
3 or 4 times a week. So
yeah.
you could make a living by doing 4 sessions a week.
Oh, no, sorry. 3 sessions like in a row.
3 sessions
four,
a day,
like
three or four
yeah,
times
so
a week. So we're talking 10.
Yeah.
So we're talking 10 sessions
yeah,
a week.
Yeah,
so we
yeah.
can do the math ourselves here. That's
yeah.
10 times 3. That's 3,000
yeah.
a week. That's 3, 6, 9, 12,000 a month. I know it took a lot out of you, but in literal terms, I would be working 10 hours a week making, yeah.
Yeah.
I like
no,
this.
It's fantastic money.
I like this.
Yeah.
I wish I had the talent, that talent. I don't. But I want to make a distinction here too. I think that people don't understand about a lot of sex workers. I think this is sort of like, this is something you're set up to do. You're comfortable. You get set some kind of personal reward mm-hmm. as an artist
yeah.
from doing this, right?
Yeah.
And not everybody does.
Right.
And that's a real difference, isn't it?
Wait, not everybody is in.
Like, for example, like I could do it, or I mean, not, or like, you know, one of your friends, you
know, one
of your young, hot friends could do it. And they wouldn't be able to connect with it and get some kind of satisfaction, some kind of fulfillment. I think I think it's fulfilling for you. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't think a lot of people understand that, right?
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes, it is correct.
I think that's a misunderstanding about you.
Yeah.
So I wanted to initially, I wanted to, right before we got started, I wanted to, part of what I wanted to talk about with you, there's so many things we could talk about anyway. Oh, and did you, so you had heard of my therapy, right?
What happened?
Did somebody, did you find out about it after you got started, or how did you hear about it?
I did. I found out, well, a big turning, so my training and my practice was really in performance art and modern dance. That's what I did in undergrad.
Oh, you were a modern dancer?
Yeah.
read that you studied biology.
Yes, I did a double degree in biology.
Where'd you go to school?
The University of Washington in Seattle.
Mm-hmm. And how old are you now?
Oh, I don't tell. But you can
Google
it.
Okay, are you from Washington?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, that's okay.
So I moved to New York to pursue dance, and I was very actively involved in this performance art scene and the performance art club run by Claudia LaRocco back in the day.
Oh yeah, where was it?
We would meet. Well, it was actually originally run through WNYC, and then it went off on its own, and it still has a website, but it's not active. So we would meet at shows and discuss and talk.
Oh, but it was really like exciting. An East Village kind of thing?
All of New York, just wherever the show was.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But very focused on downtown experimental work.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my background, and I started Naked Therapy with that as a background. And I actually found out about you through Jeremy Barker, who wrote an article on CultureBot. Because I started making as I'm curious about, because the year I found out about you, I think a little later maybe, but I want to also ask you about that in a second.
Mm-hmm.
But I was kicked out of the West Chelsea Artist Open Studio when I was showing visual and performative work under my name, Sarah White.
Is that your real name?
No.
I have a really close friend named Sarah White, by the way. A very, very close friend, which I remember was so funny. It's like, Sarah White, who's nothing like you. But go ahead.
Well, I mean, at the time, I had a performance space out of my house. There were a lot of reasons I was trying to keep them really separate.
Mm-hmm.
So I was keeping them really separate, but I felt that Sarah White was, with the sort of real incredible experiences I was having talking to men, had a unique voice, and so I wanted to create art under her name. And I was, and I met with a guy who runs the West Chelsea Artist Open Studios, and he was totally cool with me taking part. I submitted, and then I was eventually kicked out because he did not like the featured image that I submitted with my work. And so this was a very
nice... Too explicit?
Too commercial.
Huh. Okay.
He said my work was an ad and not art, and that I was...
Sorry.
A commercial entity and not an artist.
Oh, Jesus.
Isn't that funny?
Shut up. Sorry. That's annoying. I'm annoyed by that idea, but by a fucking judgmental curator.
Right,
but hello, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's pretty well. But that prejudice still exists in the art world.
Of course.
So,
yeah. Everywhere. So what happened?
So I was kicked out, and then I had, and the bonus of that was that I had a lot of really nice write-ups on my work as an art practice or as an art question. And so Jeremy Barker wrote this great essay in CultureBot on it. And then Andy Horowitz came in and said, oh, well, at least she has proof of purchase, Lisa Levy's work. And so that was when I first, or is the phrase proof of purchase that you had done it because you've been doing therapy as art for a while.
Right. What is proof of purchase?
That's not the right word.
Proof of concept?
Yeah.
Because I remember Andy wrote something about it on CultureBot.
So, yeah, was that where you found about it, or was that before that you heard about Naked Therapy?
No, I didn't put that together. Uh-huh. I mean, that was just like, I've known Andy a while, and, you know, it was just like, oh, that was so nice of Andy. I'm sure I read about it in the media.
Was it
in the Times?
It was in the New York Daily. I don't think it was in the Times, though. It's been...
It was in... I mean, it was kind of everywhere, true, right?
It was sort of everywhere in 2011.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was something. And, you know, over the years, I mean, I have been doing this therapy thing for a long time. I mean, things crop up all the time of people doing therapy this way. I'm sure you're aware of it too, right?
Yeah, of course.
So, I mean, I thought it was really cool and interesting, and people talked to me about it, so I was aware of it, but, you know, I mean, I thought it was interesting, and I didn't really know what to make of it, because now I do, because I know you, and I know your work better, and you've been doing a lot more, you know, that was a long time ago, so there's a whole context around it, so I have a different sense of it, but at the time I just thought, this is interesting, and I honestly looked into it at the time and digested it, and you know, then later on I put together that the work you're doing now is you're that person. So you use Sarah White, just so I want to make it clear, Sarah White is your stage name for your therapist, just like mine is Dr. Lisa Levy, SP, self-proclaimed. So, okay, so what I'd sort of been wanting to talk to you about today, one of the things, I mean, there's so much, like I said, but one of the things I wanted to discuss with you was your family and your background to, try to understand, where your views on sexuality, maybe, you know, I would love to hear about your relationship with your father and stuff like that, and how your parents view what you do. But just to put this out on the table is when I asked you that, you said that that's something you don't talk about out of respect. Can you explain? I mean, this is totally cool. We are not here to push anybody. I just want people to understand. I want my listeners to understand how difficult, like what you really deal with. What it's really like to be you.
Well, as of my most recent project,
the rock star one, where you're going to be on the cover of Rolling Stone.
Exactly. My ass will be. But yes, that's me too. As of that project, I'm just not allowed anymore to talk about my family's reaction to my work. And it's hard to know what I can or can't say without upsetting people. And it's pretty unfortunate.
So was that a verbal agreement or that you made with them? Or can you not? Don't. If you say it, just say the fifth. Just say the fifth.
The fifth.
Okay, the fifth. Okay. So can you talk about how you said unfortunate? How do you feel about how that?
Yeah, it hurts
how your
a lot.
Work. How does? Let's talk about how your work affects your life. Like how, in general. Like how do you feel about it? Like what's going on? What happens for you? Talk about your family first. Sorry, it's such a general question.
Well, I think actually it's probably easier to just talk more broadly. And I guess on one level, people do seem to be looking at the work, at my work, and responding quite well to it. And on another level, I definitely receive a whole lot of, I think just the most basic way to call it is slut shaming for the kind of work that I do, and it's often packaged in this really weird, like, in a very weird way, and it's hard because it's pretty. I mean, I think it's pretty vulnerable work, I would say, but it's just amazing how many different directions that this stuff comes out from, and it's hurtful. Though I'm trying to get a thicker skin about it, but it's still hard.
I would guess people would say to you, well, I'm not defending these people, but there are probably people say that how can you be surprised, right?
Surprised about what?
That, I mean, I hate that you're being slut shamed, I personally, as another woman, apologize for that. Yeah. But I'm not surprised. I'm sad, but I'm not surprised. Mm-hmm. Are you surprised?
No, I'm not surprised. That's a good point.
Were you surprised when you started doing what you're doing? Did you have any idea?
I had no idea how aggressively negative, some people would react. Mm-hmm. But I think that we're very, as a whole, or many of us are still very sexually repressed, especially in America. So mm-hmm. it's just as soon as you see something that's sexual, it's like, it can't be art, it can't be smart, it can't be thoughtful. You just have to say that it's wrong. And that's mm-hmm. the easiest way to deal with it.
I'm also wondering, as a dancer, you know, like, for example, like, my work comes in much more out of writing than mm-hmm. it does, or visual, you know, our work intersects, but my work is coming out of a very verbal, I'm obviously a big mouth verbal person. Mm-hmm. I wish I was a dancer, because that would be so much fun, but I'm not.
I wish I was verbal.
But so I'm just saying, like, as a dancer, that creativity is all very intuitive.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's very performance based.
Well, it's also in your body. Yeah. It's also, like, yes, based in totally. Your body and mm-hmm. the creativity that you experience through your body, something mm-hmm. I'm not that aware of, something I don't have that skill. Mm-hmm. But I wonder if that makes it more difficult for you. If you were, oh, shit. Mm-hmm. Margo, we can't talk now. I wonder if that makes it harder for you, because by nature your creativity is connected to your body, mm-hmm. not your verbal skills.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah,
do you think that's hard?
Super true.
Do you think you have trouble getting your message out because you're not yeah. the writer, verbal, big mouth
yeah.
person?
Yeah, I think so.
And that must be very frustrating for you.
It is frustrating, yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. So you must feel a lot of... I bet you're really kind of angry about a lot of bullshit that goes on. Are you?
Yeah.
And is that part of what's motivating you now?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, I think that my most recent project is an attempt to both be a... Yeah, it's always sort of, what's the phrase, like a battering, not a punching bag. I feel like so often I put myself out as a punching bag.
Uh-huh.
But the most recent project, yeah, I think in withdrawing a bit and moving more into a musical mm-hmm. form, I'm trying to be able to express a bit more and, I don't know, hopefully broaden the conversation in some way, because mm-hmm. it's starting to feel kind of stuck.
Well, also, we're very comfortable seeing sexuality in our music videos, right? Naked women are fine if it's a man yeah. putting it together or whatever, yeah. or sexuality. I mean, sexuality in therapy is controversial. Mm-hmm. Sexuality in a music video is... Well, not that, I mean,
I think it actually is a little controversial.
The way you're doing it.
Yeah, the way I'm doing it, exactly. Yeah. But yeah, you would think that they would be more open to mm-hmm. it.
So do you think, like, I would imagine you'd be feeling a lot of women are jealous of you. I mean, or competitive. But do you feel that way? I can't imagine that you don't.
Like a lot of women as in peers or?
Well, we're talking about, like,
just like in the world.
We're talking about, like, slut shaming, and I read a lot of the quotes.
Yeah, yeah,
I read, like, part of your art was to put both good and bad comments
yes.
on the videos from yes. whatever.
Yes.
So I saw a lot of really negative shit by mm-hmm. women. It makes me crazy.
Yeah.
So do you think those women are jealous of you? That's what I think.
Yeah.
Do
yeah.
you?
I'm sure that's part of it.
Do you think about that, or
Yeah, I've thought that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the easy way to react.
But part of that is true, too, mm-hmm. right? It's probably a lot mm-hmm. of things.
Yeah.
So here's something that I'm curious about. So this is you know, so anyway, I'm asking this question at the same time I'm wondering if this is not a nice question to ask you. So I'm just going to put that out there.
Okay.
You believe I'm supportive of your work,
yes,
which I
definitely.
Truly am. Okay.
Thank you.
So, so you're a beautiful young woman and you look great. You know, you're a dancer
mm-hmm.
and you are also really talented at moving. You know, you're very connected to your body and you know how to move and, like, mm-hmm. you know, you're great. So, what if you were not so beautiful? What if, like, do you think somebody who's not, you know, do you think you have to be attractive? Like, what's your feeling about doing the kind of work you're doing in physical appearance? Like, what's your feeling about that? Like, do you have to be beautiful to do it?
I mean, I think that I've chosen beautiful as an aesthetic. So I've, and it, and in terms of, I mean, in terms of, I do yoga every day when I can, you know, I'm very physically active. But that's because it's what is, I also just need as a person. I definitely put on makeup and clothing and a performance to, to come across as more beautiful. I mean, I think you start off by saying, and it's of course a big, well, I mean, I think that the one thing I want to say is that, but I also, I go, it's quite extreme. Like I've always felt that also even just the act, like on my Instagram, I'll show my ass basically. Like, I mean, it'll be clothed, but it's still there. So, I mean, I'm not, I don't have all of the features that would really make it, me fully in that direction.
I work hard
and I compromise and I
you know how to work it. That makes sense to me.
I've always believed that any woman who wants to do that can do that. I mean, I know that there are definitely differences, but there's an incredible diversity, especially on Instagram, which is why I really like Instagram, of different body types and different people who gather fans.
No, that's a really good point. I'm glad to hear you say that. I mean, I'm glad to think about that because, like, you have really nice lingerie, and you know, and you are presenting yourself. I mean, you're obviously genetically like really good looking, but there are also a lot of other women who could probably do the same thing who don't see themselves in that role. You have a talent for presenting that side or whatever. Yeah. That makes sense. So, like, I always here's a question from an old lady, okay? So, because I'm going to be 60 in May, I'm so obsessed with this. So, what, like, I have noticed that a lot of people that I've known for years and years and years now, since we were all really, well, I mean, I've always seen myself as the best friend of the pretty girl. So a lot of women cannot move on, have a hard time, you know, when you get to be 60, no matter how good you look, you're not a good-looking young woman. So a lot of women have a hard time making that transition where they are not that person anymore, no matter how great they look. So do you ever think about that? Do you look in the future? Do you wonder, like, what you're going to substitute? Like, are you going to substitute? Like, how do you see getting old? Give me some advice. or maybe you just don't have to think about that.
Well, I don't know. Obviously, like, Cindy Sherman has been a really interesting example, how she's done and represented herself visually. I don't know. I mean, I think that it will be a big part of my art practice, but I don't, I don't know yet how it will come across. But I'm also really excited when I'm older to be dealing with these images of me when I'm younger and to have that in my visual artwork. So part of what I'm trying to do here is just get as much as I can, as many photos as I can. I'm on like a really, really hard schedule, just a really fast schedule of just trying to get tons of images, and then see how they play out, like right now through the celebrity project, but also in the long term. And because I think, yeah, so I don't know yet, but so you're I'm kind of excited for it.
So you're kind of mining your youth in the moment, and you know you are.
Yeah,
and you're
absolutely
aware of that.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. That's a really interesting point. Just a really interesting point, people. Think about that. Mine your youth. Use every age for what you have.
Exactly.
So can we talk to you about, like, boyfriends? Or dating, or your relationship with your personal, like what it's like to for guys that meet you, or how do you handle having a relationship with a man? How do you resolve that with your art?
Well, anyone who I have a relationship with has to be very cool and open minded and cool with what I do. It's pretty straightforward. I mean, in terms of, I guess, even just friends, I've lost a lot of friends through again, for some reason, this most recent project, it's literally like people like didn't notice what I was doing before or something.
Really?
Because I feel like it's the same thing. It's just sort of an extension. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, it's mm-hmm. been this most recent project that has like really freaked out a lot of old friends. But besides that, meeting men. I mean, I'm a pretty chill person, I guess, most of the time.
No, but
so just someone has to be really non-judgmental. Someone's just got to be cool.
But do you have like a boyfriend now?
I do have a boyfriend.
So, but like any sex worker, mm-hmm. I mean, that whole thing of being like sexually available to the public in the way that.
Yeah, totally.
So how does that resolve? How does that play out?
Well, I think he thinks it's hot. So I think it probably needs to be that way. I mean,
Did you meet through your work?
We met through an interest in art, actually. But he's open-minded in terms of the...
Mm-hmm.
The,
mm-hmm.
Which I still consider art, the sex work part of it. But, you know...
Yeah, we're calling it art.
Thank you.
No, don't thank me. I mean, you're committed to this, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no question about it.
Yeah.
So, do you think that, like, how does your work reflect? Does it affect your relationship, or do you feel like you're able to have a comfortable, nice relationship, and it's not getting in the way of that?
I mean, I think it's always sort of in the conversation, mm-hmm. but I'm a total workaholic, so everything I do during the day is always part of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this art that you're doing sounds really, on a personal level, mm-hmm. like really, really difficult. Like just it affects
very personal. Yeah, it affects everything.
But it affects your life in a really profound way, I think, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I keep thinking with my new Instagram, especially like, and deciding to do the naked site,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, I've definitely cut off a lot of job opportunities. But at the same time, I feel like I'm in a position where I can stand up because I don't think that it should cut off any job opportunities for any woman. So I feel like I'm able to stand up for women who, you know, maybe can't use their real name or who can't, who are losing their jobs but don't have a platform on which to point it out.
Yeah, but I mean, if you weren't you're making money
right.
this way, right?
Yeah,
so it gives you a certain amount of freedom, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. And it is hard to make money at this. Like, I've definitely, making money off a pay site these days is really difficult. So it's not.
So
it gives me the freedom that to be able to talk on it.
But you could take all that small business energy and probably put it into another business and do pretty well too, right?
Yeah, maybe. But it's hard. I mean,
no, I mean, I'm sure it's hard.
So,
do you ever like think like so? It's affected your relationship with your family. What's the hardest part? Is that the hardest part?
Yeah, I would say that's the hardest part right now. Yeah.
And are you going to a therapist?
No.
So how do you do you get upset about it, or how do you? You know what's really interesting? I'm going to tell you my sense of you from this 45 minutes or whatever it is. My sense of you is that you are really smart. You've got a good moral compass, all that stuff. You're great. But you're really, really physical, and you do have you're not naturally like somebody who can verbally protect yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And that's got to be really tough. And but I'm also having a hard time getting a sense of you're very good at being in the moment and being poised. And I feel like I feel like you're pretty well protected about your feelings, which I totally get. Is that true? Because I can usually read feelings a little bit better than I can read them from you.
Interesting. You know, I am a therapist too, so.
Yeah, no,
maybe
I mean.
That's part of it. There's
no, but if you didn't have a way of protecting your feelings, you wouldn't be able to do this at all anyway. Mm-hmm. Like maybe the way that you communicate your feelings is through your physical being, mm-hmm. which isn't literal, mm-hmm. so you're more protected that way. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does make sense,
So.
Or online.
Yes, and online. So I would love to hear you verbalize your feelings a little bit if you want to, you know, we have 15 minutes left. Mm-hmm. We don't have to, you know, rush. I mean, I'm trying not to make you feel pressured, but I do think that there's a lot of feelings that you could articulate if you felt like you were interested in doing it. Mm. Does that make sense, or what do you think?
Who would I be talking to? Who is it I'm telling my feelings to?
Me. I mean, what I'm asking is, I mean, I'm just saying that, like, I'm having a hard time getting a sense of your feelings, and I wonder, like, how you feel. You have a role in society. You do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there aren't a lot of people in your what's the word I'm looking for? Parade.
Yeah.
Parade or protest, or it's a protest, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's kind of an angry protest. Angry being a good word. And I would love to hear you articulate some of those feelings. Like maybe you are angry about society. Mm-hmm. Maybe you are angry about the role of women. And I'd love to hear some of that.
Yeah. I definitely am frustrated by. Well, actually, I just went to a talk by Carolee Schneeman last mm-hmm. night in the New York Public Library, and it was great. And she said right off the bat that I think the word she used was that it's problematic to be heterosexual.
It is.
So it's sort of, I guess, my main feelings right now, and I really identify with what she said. I wish that we could all really accept each other for each individual sexuality is sort of my main feeling right now. And I don't think that there's value to telling some people that theirs is wrong and others are right or some are better than others. I think it's all great to be sexual. And that actually just being sexual in the first place is what is pretty repressed still. So I'm not sure if that's really feelings, but I feel a lot of censorship, I guess. And so I'm often, I guess, careful about what I say because things are kind of used against me, but
you're provoking. What's interesting is like you're provoking a lot. And so what do you think you're, you know what I mean? Like, I feel there's like a lot of strong feelings that because your work is so literally provocative, mm-hmm. literally. And it's interesting. I mean, I think there is a lot to think about there. And I think that you're probably like learning so much for yourself, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Have you ever been in therapy?
Not like real extended therapy. Mm-hmm. I've kept away from it for some reason.
So funny.
Yeah.
Have you ever like thought you'd like to, or?
I've considered it, but it's.
You'd probably be good. Time. You know what probably might be good for you,
like I don't even know where I'd start.
Some kind of Reiki or whatever those physical like Alexander technique, that kind of shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe you're more like that.
And that's the way yoga is very meditative for me. And
yeah. So as a kid, were you like kind of like play? I imagine you as an introverted child.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I was.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I've kind of always been that way.
Mm-hmm. And like in high school?
Yeah, I was not cool. I was a nerd.
Did you do really well in school?
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm. So what did you think, you know, what did you imagine you were going to do when you grew up?
Yeah, well, I always thought, I actually did really well in biology, so I always thought I would eventually go back and become a a doctor, mm-hmm. But that I would just sort of dance for a bit. And then a lot of dancers I know became physical therapists. So I always thought maybe physical therapist, but I was like, oh, I don't want to do that because that's not actually like really the top. Like the doctors are at the top.
Right.
So I was like, so I should do doctor, but I just never got back. I never got back to it. So that's what I thought I would do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that actually that's a big part of sort of where, like, old friends and family that sort of struggle with the new work is that they're like, well, but she could have been a doctor. Why is she choosing this as a mm-hmm. pathway, since it's seen, this sort of pathway is seen as something that women only do when they can do nothing else or something, which, again, I just think is... Well, looking down on the women and looking down on everyone who engages with them too.
So what do you say to that? Like, what would you say to that?
To someone who says that?
Yeah. Like,
someone who said that to me.
Like, can you convey to them? Or, I mean, I imagine it's a connection to your art project that they can't understand. Is that what it is?
Yeah. Well, and then it gets into, yeah. So for me, it's definitely part of an art practice. And then it gets into this, like, trying to describe what contemporary art's like and sort mm-hmm. of post-internet mm-hmm. art and social media art and online art. And just, you know, mm-hmm. internet is so beyond what most of these people can comprehend, I guess, in internet art in particular, and this kind of internet art. So it's really, it's just sort of like a generational difference. It's a reality difference. It's like
with
New
your
York
with your
small town
family, but like your friends, you were saying you lost a lot of friends. So some of your friends don't get it either, or happens
friends
there?
Friends from that I'd had since middle school in this most recent project we've had falling outs.
And how about friends that, you know, you've had currently?
So
do
friends
they get
that have
it?
Currently get it, or I'm not friends with them, basically. Mm-hmm.
That would make sense. Do you have a lot of women friends?
Yeah, actually, pretty much.
Pretty much exclusively
women, and a lot of great sex worker friends who mm-hmm. are really amazing.
Is that mostly the people that you're most comfortable with, or?
Yeah, and they're the people who get it. They're the ones who actually have anything interesting, or real. Yeah.
I think there is like a whole world of sex worker people who really are talented at it and good at it and get something out of it.
Absolutely.
I don't think they're doing it because they're like the cliche, the stereotype is that it's a heroin addict who has no way to make money, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there are a lot of women
Absolutely.
And men who are making money because they feel like they're probably doing something for other people.
Yeah. And that it's interesting and that it's exciting and that, I mean, it's endlessly fascinating.
Yeah.
You really get to connect with people. I mean, there's so many bonuses.
And so what do you say to people? We only have 7 minutes left.
Okay.
So what do you say to people who say to you, so a lot of people would say that you're just exploiting yourself to like the lowest form, the lowest, mm-hmm. you know, like desire of men, the most base desire of men, and you're giving away. Like I could go mm-hmm. through your, they can just go through your Instagram thing and, you know, get something for free.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, which is really stupid. But how do you respond to that? Tell us. Do you get mad at guys? What do you think guys are doing? There are asshole guys. We are all
yes.
So how do you feel about that? Like, how do you?
Who are the guys who are slut shaming me, or the?
Well, I'm not. I mean, the fact that there are there are not that many.
Yeah, no. When I think of slut shaming, it's like, it's so. I mean, all the examples I can think are all from women.
Yes. So say something that a woman, can you tell us one that particularly stuck out? You don't have to say any names so that my listeners can understand how fucked up this is.
Oh, just that I'm dragging women backwards, that I don't know. I can't
like
think.
Women,
you
so it's really the idea of women objectifying themselves.
Yeah.
So women can objectify themselves if they want to. Is that mm-hmm. what you mean? Or is objectifying yourself also saying that that's not all you are? Or
Sorry, I don't
well, you're understand. Yeah, I'm not being
I mean,
clear.
No,
that's
tricky.
Right.
It's tricky.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to I mean, these are such, I mean, we you know what? We'll have to do this again because there's so much to think about and it's so complicated because the way that I see it is kind of like the way the world, the typical stuff that the world, you probably don't even understand how people get to where they get to their ideas about mm-hmm. you. Do you? Do you sometimes feel that way?
You
like that people think, you know, you're exploiting yourself.
Well, I would say normally that's because they think that about anyone who's doing the sort of thing that I'm doing. So mm-hmm. it's not even particular to me usually.
Mm-hmm.
I get that.
So what do you think?
I mean, I'm making money on it. So
right, exactly.
I mean, and I mean, which I think you were saying earlier that, yeah, I mean, I give out a lot of free content, but I also charge for Naked. And that's a pretty simple line for me. And, you know, everyone can pick their own line. But, you know, I don't see the free content as I don't see that as it's not unpaid labor. It's
right.
It is paid and it is voluntary. And for me, I mean, I just feel it's quite fortunate that it's also what I use in my art practice. So they have a really nice sort of double use.
So that's good. So what do you kind of like hope to like assuming? I mean, I think that the project of Ona is a, you know, I mean, you're looking to grow your concept, your practice, your experience. So what are you hoping to get? What are you looking for? Can you explain that?
Yeah, well, my idea with that project was always to sort of to try to grow in both the celebrity sphere and the art world sphere at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So to see and to make it an intentional celebrity as art practice project. So I'm still figuring out what that really means. But I mean, for me, it's like on one hand, I'm working really hard at my visual work, which I feel very strongly about. And then on the other hand, I'm working at the sort of online social based, the Ona project.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard because in terms of actually becoming a real celebrity, most celebrities are actually quite industry manufactured, kind of like the pop musicians and the, you know, kind of these people who've come up through traditional means. So using the word celebrity is slightly...
They have a machine behind
them. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I definitely don't. I'm completely, completely mm-hmm. DIY, which I think is okay because that's sort of what like true internet mm-hmm. celebrities mm-hmm. can come from.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard because I am trying to get music-related press and it's lacking sort of these institutions and not working with the right producers. It's definitely more of a challenge. But for me, I think about it as it's a project that whether is super successful in terms of celebrity or is not is all part of it. And it's more about the strive for it and the diarizing of it and the images that come out of it
mm-hmm.
and the process of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, when I did Sarah White, I basically became a little celebrity right off the bat, and it was kind of without even realizing it. And so this is, in a way, a more sort of extended process that I can make mm-hmm. public because therapy mm-hmm. is quite private. I mm-hmm. definitely don't feel like I would never make any of that stuff public.
Mm-hmm.
So this is sort of my take two on that event and trying to mine it for its...
What attracts you about being a celebrity? What attracts...
Well, I just think we all are engaged in a celebrity project at some level.
That's pretty
good. Because we're online, you know? I mean, mm-hmm. you know, you have branding and mm-hmm. and your fans and people who like you. And so I just think that in ways we just all are. So I just feel like just saying that we all are, which...
That's
we
pretty funny.
Are.
I like that. So there's a lot of
well.
Its approval. Okay, one
yeah.
minute. Say
yeah.
say where to find you.
Okay, my website is leahschrager.com, and my music project is onaartist.com.
And Instagram.
And Instagram mm-hmm. / onaartist, mm-hmm. and Instagram / leahschrager.
And I'll post that all on my site, too. So you can go to my site if you... If you get distracted by the photos. Okay, so I think we've got like 20 seconds. This whole thing has gotten me, you know, I get really neurotic at the end because I never really end the show in a very graceful way. That's all I can say. So thanks so much for being on here today.
Thank you so much.
All right, do you sing? Sing, let's go out, sing a couple bars.
No, thank you.
No, we
have. Without laughing.
Without laughing.
Dr. Lisa gives a shit.